Welcome back to the OU Daily International Tehillim and Chizuk phone call. This is Naftali Herman from the Orthodox Union. Thank you so much for joining today's program and for making it a part of your day on Yom Sheni, President's Day here in the United States, the third day of the month of Adar. Thank you to our incredible and generous sponsors for their continued support, and whose names are prominently listed in the OU Daily email. To sponsor future programs, please visit ou.org/call. That's ou.org/call. Please note the deadline to submit a sponsorship for tomorrow's program is today at 5 p.m. Eastern Time. On behalf of the OU, it is my esteemed honor to introduce Rabbi Ari Hart of the Skokie Valley Agudat Jacob Synagogue in Skokie, Illinois, to share Divrei Chizuk, which will be immediately followed by Rabbi Hart slowly reciting our three daily chapters of Tehillim, Perek Chaf Gimel, Kuf Chaf Aleph, and Kuf Lamed. Those are chapters 23, 121, and 130, and it will be followed, as always, by the Mishaberach L'cholim and Achenu. I have to apologize to Rabbi Hart and the mistake of mine that the email that went out from the OU, the daily email, mistakenly had Rabbi Ari Hart's name as Rabbi Art Hart, which might be an incredibly rhyming name and maybe a story for a different time, but that was a typo on my part. It should be Rabbi Ari Hart, so I apologize to Rabbi Hart for that. We will conclude the call with a brief conversation with Rabbi Hart to learn more about his wonderful community in Skokie. Please stay tuned afterwards for information regarding tomorrow's speaker, the Chavot, with great honor, Rabbi Hart.
Thank you so much. It's a great honor, a great schut to be here. Not the first time I've been called Art Hart, so don't worry about it. And I just want to thank the OU for this call. This is a call that many members of my community, in my shul, and my own family call into and are strengthened by. And it's amazing. It's both sad and amazing that here we are coming up on Purim, and you've been doing this almost for an entire year. It's sad we have to do it, but it's such an amazing source of strength for so many. And I just want to thank the OU for your steady and clear and sensitive Torah leadership through a tremendously uprooting upheaval of a time for Kol Yisrael. The OU has been a source of great support and stability and strength that I and many others have looked to. And I just want to express my gratitude for everything that you do that we know about, and I'm sure many things you do that we have no idea about. So I'm here in Skokie, Illinois, and I'm looking outside my window, and more snow is falling. And it's been a very difficult February here. I'm sure it's been a difficult February for many. This is a hard time. I'm normally a pretty optimistic, energetic guy, and I found myself struggling with sadness and just lethargy in this month that I normally don't feel. And I know I'm probably not alone, and I know I probably have it a lot better than a lot of other people. Thank God I'm healthy. My immediate family's healthy. And so in this difficult time, we're also in the month of Adar. We just entered Adar, and we're supposed to be happy. Mishenichnas Adar marvin b'simcha. When we enter into the month of Adar, we increase our joy. So I've been thinking and reflecting a lot on that in this time of sadness. How do we increase our joy? And many of the ways in which I personally would be increasing my joy are not available to me. Things that bring me joy are singing, you know, davening, b'shira, with lots of song and energy, or a tish, or a kiddush, or, you know, social gatherings, a simcha, a celebration, a wedding. Those are things which really lift me up. And I don't have access to those now, and many of us don't, and that's very hard. But there is, however, a form of simcha which is always accessible to us, to each and every one of us. And that's what I want to just reflect on for a moment here. It's a simcha that the Rambam talks about. He calls it simcha shel mitzvah, the joy of a mitzvah, the joy of doing a good deed, the joy of fulfilling a commandment. I'd like to think of the word mitzvah from the Aramaic tzavta, of connection, the joy of connecting to Hashem. That is a simcha that even when we can't go to the kiddush, and even when we can't even go outside, I haven't been able to really be outside here in Chicago for a while, we always have access to the simcha shel mitzvah, the joy of good deeds. Just yesterday, our community, about 45 different families organized a relief effort to bring warmth, warm food, and warm blankets to individuals who are living outside in Chicago, who are homeless, who are sleeping on the streets. Can you imagine sleeping on the streets in this winter? And there was simcha there. It was very hard to see what people are going through, but there was a simcha of coming together and doing something positive, doing a mitzvah and bringing joy to others and bringing light to others. And that really lifted me up. And I think it lifted those who participated and those who benefited. And something I've gotten tremendous chizik through throughout this whole pandemic is the mitzvot that people are doing for one another. People here in Chicago, again, shoveling each other's snow. And when the vaccine rollout came out, people in the shul helped elders who weren't so computer savvy sign up and get a vaccine at the different locations. And people are calling each other and checking in and delivering food. That gives me simcha. And I think those who participated in it get simcha. And each and every one of us can do one of those mitzvot. Each and every one of us can pick up the phone and call somebody or make a small donation or leave some warm food by someone we see on the street. There's something that each of us can do always to increase that simcha in our lives. So we should be zocha, we should merit, we should strive to fulfill this charge of Adar to increase our simcha, maybe not through going to parties like we normally would, but through doing more mitzvot, through growing in our mitzvot, in our learning also, and in our davening. Every time we do one of these mitzvot, knowing that we grow closer to Hashem, we grow closer to one another, and our joy from that will emerge and shine forth. So I want to encourage everyone to be marbim b'simcha, to increase the simcha, through simcha shel mitzvah, by doing just one more good deed. Just pick one new thing this week to do that'll increase your mitzvot, that'll increase your joy. That's my bracha, my blessing to each and every one of us, and may it be so. We'll now read some Tehillim, and this Tehillim should be in the merit of those who are struggling, who are sick, who are sad, who are in a difficult place. Our tefillot should be in their merit for their healing. First, I'll begin with Perek Kaf Gimel, chapter 23. Mizmor leDavid. Adonai roi lo echsar, binot deshe yarvitzeni, ame menucho dinaleni, nafshi yeshovev, yancheni b'magle tzedek l'man shemo, gam kielech b'yeit ha-mavet, lo irara kieta imadi, shivtecha u'mishantecha heima yenach u'munim. Taroch lefanai shulchan neged torerai, tishanda v'shemen roshi kosi v'revaya. Ach tov v'chesed yudefuni kol yemei chayai, v'shavti b'beit Adonai le'orech yamin. Perek Kuf Chaf Aleph, chapter 121. Shir l'malot, esa einai el harim me'ain yavo ezri. Ezri ne'im Adonai, oseh shamayim va'aretz, al yiten lamot raglecha, al yanum shomrecha. Hinei lo yanum ve'lo yishan, shomer Yisrael, Adonai shomrecha, Adonai tzilcha al yad yeminecha. Yomam ha'shemesh lo yakecha, V'areyach b'layla, Adonai yishmorcha mikol ra, yishmor et nafshecha, Adonai yishmor teicha uvoecha, me'ata v'yad olam. Perek Kuf Lamed, chapter 130. Shir hamalot, mimamakim karaticha Adonai, Adonai shima v'koli, tiyena oznecha kashuvo l'kol tachanunai. Im avonot tishmorya, Adonai mi yamod, ki imcha hatzlicha l'man tivarei. Ki viti Adonai kivta nafshi, velid varo hochalti. Nafshi l'Adonai, neshomrim l'boker, shomrim l'boker. Yachel Yisrael el Adonai, Ki im Adonai Chesed beharbe imo fedud, v'hu yifte et Yisrael mikol avonotav. We might recite a Mishnah Berach for Cholim, a prayer for those in need of healing, healing of the body, healing of the spirit, healing of the mind. I have the minhag to sing this Mishnah Berach, so I hope you'll give me that opportunity. And when I pause, I invite you to recite the names of those whom you have in mind, for who we all daven for a speedy recovery. Mishnah Berach Avoteinu Avraham Yitzchak VeYaakov VeYimoteinu Sara Rivka Racha VeLeya Hu Yivarech VeYirape Et HaCholim VeYet HaCholot. Bavur Shanami Palim Bavura Mishkaze Kadash Parhu Yimale Rachami Malahem Lachimam Raputam Lachikam Uchayotam Vishlach Lahim Meira Rufuashlem Minashamaim Lachol Remachogidein Kokol Israel Rufuata Nefesh Rufuata Guf Hashta Bagalav Zankari Vidomar Amen.
Finally, we'll conclude with Achenu, prayer for our Jewish brothers and sisters across the world, wherever they may be. Achenu kol beit Yisrael, hanatunim mitzara v'shivya, ha'omdin bein bayam uvein bayabasha, ha'makom yirachem alahem v'yotziem mitzara v'yavacha, u'mefela l'ra v'shibu v'gula, hashta b'agala v'zman kariv, v'nomar, amen.
Amen. Thank you so much, Rabbi Hart, as we transition into the next segment of our call. First and foremost, how are you, your family, and the community doing?
You know, as I said, thank God we are healthy, everyone. I'm so grateful to our local day school, Hillel Torah, our son, whose school age is in school. It's an amazing bracha. So we're okay, but it is a hard time. You know, it's the community, I feel like I haven't felt before, just a level of struggle, a level of struggle that is palpable. And we'll get through it. You know, the brighter days are coming. There's no doubt about it. Vaccine is coming and spring is coming. But this is a winter that we were all worried about, that it would be a cold and isolating winter. And that's where we're at. And people are definitely having a hard time. But occasions like this to come together and give each other chizuk are so important. To keep our spirits up and to keep each other going through this difficult time.
The best is yet to come. Brighter days are certainly ahead. But
Amen.
That degree of sensitivity and the empathy and the beautiful example that you shared of the congregation going and delivering and sharing and helping those who are literally on the streets. I live in Boca Raton, Florida, so even just picturing just what that cold must be like right now. Our good friend that we share, that I still cherish, often tells me just how bitterly cold it's been this winter, but really just a beautiful display and affection and that sensitivity for those who are really experiencing it. So to get us started, really hard for those of our listeners who might not be as familiar with your community, would it be possible to share with us a brief overview of the shul and really the community in general?
Sure. So Skokie, as you know, many of you know, is a Jewish community that started really growing strong in the 60s. And the shul that I'm have the schud of serving a rabbi as, Skokie Valley, Good of Jacob, was a large shul here in Skokie. In the Midwest, we had something called traditional shuls, where the musmachim were rabbis trained at the Skokie Yeshiva, who served in this kind of interesting hybrid of Orthodox, but with mixed seating. And that was this shul for many years. And there are many of these kind of scattered around the Midwest. And that was a model that was very, important for a particular generation. But the appeal of that model of, you know, not quite Orthodox, but not but not quite conservative, somewhere in between, sort of died down. And about 6 years ago, the shul decided that the future, its future was to become an Orthodox shul. And so they put a mechitza in the main minyan. And I was then hired a few years later to be the first rabbi to serve this new iteration of the shul. And it's been a tremendous chut. It's a really amazing community. Skokie's a great community, many wonderful shuls here, many great rabbis here. And I think what's unique about Skokie Valley is it's a very diverse community. We have everything. You come in on a Shabbos, of course, pre-pandemic or post-pandemic, and you might see, you'll see a shtreimel, and you'll see someone in a nylon kippah. You'll see people who have rigorous, yeshiva backgrounds and people who are just learning Aleph-Bet. And it's a very welcoming and open community for, all types of Jews to come and connect. And also with a vision, like this work we did yesterday with the homeless, a vision beyond just our community. While we are proud to, have tefillot and shiurim and kiddushes and all those essential things that a shul needs, we also have a sense of mission beyond just the four walls of the shul, whether that's to other Jews. Every year we host a free Pesach Seder for anybody, any Jew who's looking for a place to celebrate Pesach. They can come and there's a free meal, a free Seder that I have the schut of running here. We have free services available on the high holidays, an hour-long kind of beginner service to come and just get a taste of Yiddishkeit and what the Chagim are all about. So to the Jewish community, there's a lot of outreach, and then beyond. We see part of our mission as a shul is to be, an Or LaGoyim and a Kiddush Hashem, to be out there as Jews, trying to engage in some of the issues that are in the world around us and bringing positivity and positive change to those situations. So I think those are some of the things which make our community what it is. And it's just a wonderful collection of diverse people who are a lot of fun and just great, great people.
Amazing, truly beautiful. What drove you to go into the rabbinate, specifically become a pulpit rabbi?
Well, there were a couple key conversations along the way. I went through my own religious journey growing up. I was raised in, my parents were Balei Tshuva, raised in a Orthodox home, but then in high school and college, I actually sort of went off the derech, as they say, and found my way back through a longer story, but found my way back after college to Yiddishkeit and to Torah learning and to observance and found new ways of connecting that I had personally, neglected at the age of 13 when I decided I was moving on from religious life. So that was my own personal journey. And then through that, it was actually a conversation with Rabbi Josh Fagelson, who's a Rav here in Chicago, and Rabbi Avi Weiss, who founded Kol Vei Torah, where I got smicha, who planted the seed that I could become a rabbi. It took many years of learning here and in Israel. I spent a year at Yeshiva HaKotel, 4 years in New York at Kol Vei. After I got smicha, I always thought I would do outreach work. I thought I'd be on a campus or doing kind of kiruv type of stuff because sort of lived in both worlds and could relate to different kinds of people. But I got a job right after there was an opening at the Hebrew Institute of Riverdale. And I fell in love with the pulpit. The richness of pulpit life, the range of experiences that you have on a given day, you are shifting from writing, your drasha to counseling someone who's going through something difficult to preparing a program and a budget to, working with someone who's in a financial, challenging situation. You're always doing different things and you're with people through all stages of life, from the highest of highs, at the wedding and at the bris, to the lowest of lows, to death and to real profound problems. And that richness and the diversity and the holistic nature of being involved in all those aspects of the community really, I kind of fell in love with it. It's not always easy, very demanding, very challenging, especially in times like this. But it's also so real and rewarding and beautiful. And it's the greatest honor of my life to serve in this role and to be involved in people's lives in the way that a pulpit rabbi is.
Amazing. Unbelievable. Last question for the day. With all these changes we've seen, as a result of the pandemic, and there is light at the end of the tunnel, yes. as we alluded to earlier on. What communal changes do you anticipate for your congregation and perhaps even more broadly for the broader Jewish community as we look towards the future?
It's a great question. You know, I think one lesson I've learned in the last couple of years is to stop trying to predict the future because I have no idea what's going to happen. It's in Hashem's hands, you know, and I just don't know. So I stopped making predictions. But one thing I will say that's very important to me, and I think to many of us, is the realization of how important community is. And I think it's something we all knew, you know, as Orthodox Jews, community is so central, and we're all, I think, aware of it on some level, but I think now we have a much deeper awareness of it. And, you know, some of the things that I'm seeing now, the impact of isolation on every level of people's lives, emotionally, spiritually, halachically, you know, there's a real cost. And I think we need to double down on our gathering. You know, a synagogue in Hebrew is a Beit Knesset. Fundamentally, it's not a Beit Tfilah. It's not a house of prayer. It's not the name we call it. While, of course, we daven in shul, and davening is highly important, and we learn in shul, and that's highly important. Fundamentally, the name, at least in Hebrew, is a house of gathering. And I think we really need to think deeply about how we gather, about making sure that people who have not gathered for a year, we find ways to encourage them to come back. I worry about people who are gotten used to the isolation and making sure that we bring everybody back, not just those who are clamoring to get back into shul, but we find ways to encourage people to come back. So I think the next challenge will be to really think about the ways in which we gather. There's actually a wonderful book called The Art of Gathering, which I recommend to any rabbi. It talks about intentionally gathering and how to make gathering meaningful and accessible for people. So I think that's our big challenge in the next couple months, in our davening spaces, in our kiddush spaces, in our shiurim, in our homes, to double down on the gathering in the community and the benefits that brings to people, and make sure we're not leaving anybody behind.
Certainly so. Rabbi Hart, thank you so much for being on the call today and for providing us with a picture of your wonderful community, as they are with all of Klal Yisrael and of the entire world. Our thoughts and our tefillot, prayers are with you and your community for continued bracha, success, growth, and good health. We hope and pray that all of our collective efforts for safety, strength, and a refuah for all of those in need will be answered, Latova, and may the Rabboni Sha'olam, the master of the world, speedily please bring an end to these days of concern and uncertainty. Please join us again tomorrow, 1 p.m. Tuesday, as we will hear words of inspiration from Rabbi Alan Schwartz of Congregation Ohav Tzedek in Manhattan, New York. With hearts full of faith, stay strong, hopeful, and optimistic, wishing everyone a wonderful, healthy, and safe day.